2026 at 5:30 p.m. I'm calling the Cameron Park Community Center Budget and Administration meeting at 5:31 p.m. Call to order.
All right. Done.
Roll call.
Director Wolfson. And Director Gilchrist.
Here.
We have a forum. Okay. A quorum. Not a forum. A quorum. We have a quorum.
Okay. adoption of the agenda.
I have no comments or questions about the agenda.
Okay. I have none either. But I skipped over public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called.
Good thing we caught that.
Principal party of each side will have 3 minutes.
Perfect.
So, a motion to adopt the agenda. Is there any public comment on the agenda?
I move we adopt the agenda.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We are moving the approval of minutes to next month. So, now we have an open forum for members of the public to speak on any item that does not fall on the agenda within the responsibilities of this committee. Do we have any public comments?
Thank you.
No? Barbara? No? Okay. Moving on to department matters. Number one, Mr. General Manager, the fire impact adjustment.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. So this is I'll just say I wish it was better, but this is one of those cleanup items, you know, again. As we were doing our research, we identified that we had not requested a CPI adjustment to our fire and park impact fees since 2018, 2019, respectively. It's not an automatic CPI adjustment. The document just simply states that we can ask for a CPI adjustment, and you can either use CPIU. There's one other additional index that's out there, but we chose CPIU because we did research, and most other agencies in the county are using CPIU, which is Consumer Price Index, Urban District, or Urban Index. So we did a lot of research on these, and so we'll focus on the fire right now. There is a provision within our last Nexus study that gives us the ability to do that. And so we said, hey, what does that look like? We contacted Tara of the county. She kind of walked us through the process. It is an official process where it does need to go to the board. We will need a resolution. It will need to go to the Board of Supervisors. They vote on it, and then the increase is enacted. But we wanted to be very transparent and let you know that, hey, we identified this. This is the potential of lost revenue over the years, and so that's why it's in there this way. We want to make sure that everybody knew that, hey, this is what we could have had. This is what we're doing moving forward. I can tell you that this and other things that we've talked about, other agreements and things like that expire on a date. We're putting those on a calendar so we know that this is due here. This is due here. Hey, ask for the increase here. Same thing with like the first responder fee and those kind of things. We just need to stay up to date on those so we don't miss them. So that's what we're doing, a lot of cleanup. And that's, I wouldn't say it's any really anybody's fault. It's just more that there's been so much movement, it just falls off the cliff and nobody caught it. So we did. So that's where we're at right now. So calendar year 20 would have been a 1.4% increase, 4.2, 4.9, 2.6, 2.4. And we're going with the previous year, and this previous year was 3.0. And so that's what we're going to go with this year. But those other ones, we just can't get back. So that's what we have to bring it to. So what we're looking at is the current fee is 54 cents a square foot. And where we'd like to, with the CPI, applied, it would go to 63 cents a square foot if we had all of the other increases on there. You can't get those back. So what we're proposing is to simply do the 3% CPI increase across the board. And so when you see on page 3 or 4, your residential single-family dwellings go for 54 cents a square foot to 56 cents a square foot. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but honestly, it does kind of add up. And you can see all the different ones as we go down the list. This is really, really important to us. The fact that we don't have a lot of growth in the area or opportunities for growth, we definitely want to make sure we stay up on the CPI adjustment. So I've also asked Nikki to put it on her board calendar as well. because it's pretty heavy board action to do these things. So we already have, I believe she's already posted in the newspaper so that we can get to the next board meeting, have the hearing, go through that process, get it to the Board of Supervisors, and then get this increase put in place. So that's what you're going to see. So if you see something in the newspaper, that's what it's talking about. I will make it quick. That's all I really have on the fire impact fees. There is a resolution. We've already ran this by the county. This is the exact language that they're looking for. And we're not in the same boat. Other folks have forgotten to do this as well, and others have been a lot better at it. So that's what I have for you. Any questions?
Yeah, so didn't know that our impact fees were, you know, a set rate. I having never dealt with it before, I kind of thought it was something we negotiated with developers. Mm-hmm. Clearly not. So no. This is just anything within our sphere of influence that's a new property, they get assessed this.
Yeah, so not necessarily in our sphere of influence.
Well,
in our
this
is in our
fee.
District as a whole. Mm-hmm. If they're in our district, not the sphere. The sphere, we don't get any of that.
Okay.
We really have no authority over that because they're not really in the district, but they're in our sphere of influence.
Okay, but I'm talking about parts that are fire within our district.
Correct.
Versus parts that are park within our district.
Yes, yeah, so
it's
fire
automatically assessed on a new construction.
Correct, as long as it's approved by the board. So the board's going off the 2019-18 mm-hmm. rate sheet. So if they built the house across the street here, right here, they would be assessed this current rate.
But they would be automatically assessed something. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And we
yes.
just haven't been on top of the
correct.
Adjustments because staffing changes.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yep. That's spot on. So you see the letter to Tara Stout. That's who we've been dealing with. She's been absolutely amazing. So shout out to her. I have included also the current Nexus study. It is time that we do both the fire and parks Nexus study. We've already contacted SEI to ask for, you know, a new quote. I know one of the concerns is, well, why don't we look at other companies? We can go do that, but we've talked a lot with the county, and this is who the county is comfortable with. They kind of like us all to use the same company. And quite honestly, we've had a couple bad players in the county, and we've all used those same vendors. And the county's just not going to approve those. So we have the provision within our policy under engineering studies. We use SEI quite a bit for these things. They have this knowledge. They have our data. My recommendation that I'll be bringing to the board is that we move forward with SEI in getting both of these studies updated. And then the funding for this is going to come from the park impact and fire impact fees, respectively. That is an allowable expense.
Public comment on this item.
Driving Bowen Camp Report. Is there not a way to make this automatic so you don't have to keep going to the board every time?
There is a way. Great question. And that will be what we're looking at in the next study. The next study, we will want to write that in. If the county allows it, we want to make sure we write that in and law allows it. We'll write that in as an automatic adjustment tied to the CPIU. But that's not how it was written today, so we can't do
okay.
it today.
So you don't have to remember to calendar it.
Yeah.
Oops, it got biased.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
That's important.
Absolutely.
Barbara, did you see anything? No? Okay. All right, moving on to park impact fee.
Park impact. Whew. I got one step ahead of myself. There we go. Park impact fees, exact same story, same timeline. Same issue. 3% is going to be the increase there. This is really, really important to us. More so, I wouldn't say more so than fire, but equally, maybe more, is our percentage in park is significantly smaller. So in some areas, we're only collecting about 3% on the ad valorem. So anything additional that we can bring on the park side is critically important to us. So we need to stay up on this. If we can get this in the new Nexus study and make it automatic, we're going to write that language in there. So same thing, 20 was 1.4, 4.2. The percentages are the same because that was the CPIU for the 12-month ending in December. The difference here is when we look at the difference in single-family, multifamily, and mobile homes, we're going from 66, 45. The illustrative fee with CPI would have been $77.87, so that's a pretty significant increase, right? And remember, that's per home. So when you look at the number of homes, and we don't have that number, we've been searching for that, that's a pretty significant increase. So you'll have to go forward a little bit. Okay. So lost revenue, we're looking at a total between the two of about $8,100. So as I look at this, our new fees, let's see here, we would be adjusting them to $68.44. So we're going from $66.45 on single family to $68.44 per unit. On multifamily, we're going from $54.35 per unit to $55.98 per unit. And for mobile homes, we're going from $34.02 per unit to $35.04 per unit. And that is what we're looking at on that one. I will also note that I have an error, completely 100% my fault, and I apologize. The conclusion is for another. I just saw it. As you can tell, we do a lot of staff reports, and they all mix together. That's from another one, so I will make sure that that is corrected and cleaned up on that one. Same thing on this one. We want to do a new Nexus study. It's due. Ironically, we have to do a... it's a annual update, and so we were able to do the annual update, got all that information in to the county. So all the things we've been talking about recently, we've already talked to the county about those, and so those were kind of incorporated in there should we choose to do them. So that's all the good news on that. Same thing, there's a resolution on here that lists the fees. Again, once the board approves the resolution, then it goes to the Board of Supervisors. They're going to have to adopt it officially, and then it comes back, and we can institute that and notify everybody. And same thing, we wrote the letter to Tara, and she's responded back that, hey, this is good. This is what we're looking for.
And the report. Dated, I assume, is it the day after the board meeting?
Yes, I believe it is the day after, yeah. Okay. And so we'll look at all that, and then we'll change dates if we need to and all that.
Comment regarding this item?
Graphic volume can report. Is that a flat rate or is that a percentage?
It's a rate. Yeah. So the other one was a per square footage. This is per home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're going to build a new home.
Correct.
But
yes.
If you're going to do an addition, that doesn't.
No, that will fall under fire impact. This is for new building, new construction.
Okay.
Yeah, and I might add, without naming names, there's other entities that are two times this cost for us. Two times than us. That's a lot. So when we start talking to developers and things like that, clearly we become very attractive based on where we're at. But we've been urged by the auditor controller and the county, hey, you guys really need to look at your rates. That's all we have.
Any other public comment? So is it per lot or per structure? So if your lot has two structures, is it two times that?
It is single family, so it's going to be per unit. So if you have two homes or like a multi-home, yeah, I think that's going to be different. I think the ADU, I don't know if that's included in this one. I'll have to do some research on that one for you.
Kind of interesting, though, because I mean, it seems to me that if you had a, 1,500 square foot house versus a 3,000, you would have more impact on the parks in the larger one. So the flat fee is kind of odd.
That's the way they do it.
All right, moving on to item number three, the CIP.
We are out of order. I am out of order. Okay. Packet. Okay, so the CIP, I just really want to bring this here, and we won't talk specific, well, we'll talk about all of it. The CIP, we're really calling it a CRP, so capital replacement plan, as opposed to a capital improvement plan, because you're not really improving upon a fire engine, you're replacing a fire engine. And so we have had a document that came to the board called the CRP, Capital Replacement Plan. And this is not a new document. The board saw this. They gave some feedback. We made some changes, and there's some additional changes being requested. I want to point out the purpose and intent of that document is for us finally to have all of our apparatus on there, both fire and parks, and it looks at what year did we purchase it in, how much did we pay for it, how long is it going to last, and what do we need to put aside every single year so that we can pay for it, say, staff vehicles 10 years. So in 10 years, what do we need to put aside every single year to purchase it? Fire apparatus is a little bit different in that the practice that we currently have is not to purchase them outright, and I honestly really support that. We lease them. And so we've been leasing them anywhere from 7 to 9 years, and it makes a lot of sense, and they're staggered, right? And so 88 is our new engine. 89 is coming due. And so I will pull that up in my talking. So 89, we're getting to a point now where we need to start thinking about, not thinking, but we need to start ordering it, basically, because we know that it takes several years for us to get it. I think they're a little over four years now, almost 5 years. So I'll show you an example of this. Okay, it is right here, right here.
Figure skating.
Right?
Which is what I've been binging on since Thursday.
Nice. And so there's a lot of data on this sheet, and the intent's not to take a deep dive. I wanted to bring it up to you so that we can kind of look at it and get thoughts and figure out what do we want to do as an agency moving forward. That does not look cool, does it, right?
You got a split window.
I got something going on here. Let me reset this bad boy here. Okay, where is... I did that already. Okay, like here, sheets. And we keep this on a Google Sheet. It's an easy way for the fire department's not on our system. We're not on their system, so it's just an easy way for us all to stay on the same page on it. It's very, very helpful. Okay, I'm going to try it again here. Maybe I'll go slower. Okay. Super, super hard to read. I understand. So this really talks about the mileage. It tells you who it is. And so we know that in 2020, we purchased engine 88. Okay. I'll make that a little bit bigger. See if we can do that. Is that better? So we know we purchased that in 2020. So we know that a fire engine is going to last 15 years front line, which means it's in service for 15 years. And then we're going to keep it for another 5 years, but it'll be a backup unit, or we rent that one out, and then another one goes out of the system, the one that it's replacing. So with that being said, we got to figure out, okay, well, how do we get from, we paid $900,000, but we put a inflation factor on here. I think we use 4% or 3.7%. So that gets us the $1.289 million when we need to replace this, and that will be in 2035. So this is all scaled out. It tells you when we need to replace it. We also know that we lease the two fire engines, the heavy engines, everything else we purchase. So what that means is it's a 7 to 9 year lease. And by the time that we're done, we've got 3 lease payments left for engine 88. That coincides with us having to purchase new engine 89. So at the end of year 3, we get a 1 year reprieve. And then that next year, we purchase a new engine 89. My recommendation is to lease it because we don't have the revenue on hand just to pay cash for it, and this allows us to keep it here. It makes more sense for us, our money, to make money and just pay the lease payment on there. If we had a lot in reserves, I would say pay cash for it, but that's not what a lot of people are doing these days. So we've got that 1 year between we start the new lease. It doesn't impact the budget because we're used to paying 88's lease, so now it rolls in right into 89's lease. And then again, obviously they're staggered enough to where we're done with 89, it'll be time to replace 88. Those are the only two rigs that we do that. The only caveat I will put on here, and the number is going to be low what we need to put aside every year, because you're not trying to save that $1.2 million. We just don't have the capital to do that. We don't have the revenue to do that. We do need to save, however, $200,000 to $225,000, because that's our initial payment, and that's paying for your chassis, to secure your chassis. So we'll need to pay $225,000 to secure the chassis, and then once it's built, we get that, and then we have the lease payment going on. So the $200,000 to $225,000, that is a number that we need to be putting in our CIP for the two fire engines, the Type 1 engines, and making sure we have that annual placeholder put aside. So this is going to be updated to reflect that. Any of our park vehicles, any of our pickup trucks for the fire department, utilities, command vehicles, we pay cash for those outright. And then we bump down the ones that we're replacing. So if we're replacing Battalion 2715 or 2705, their rigs will get bumped down to utility 88, 89, or 289. That's what we do. And then those come out of the system. Sometimes they go to parks. Other times they just go away if they're completely dead. That's kind of the plan, and I think that's a good plan to continue. So you can see we don't have to put a ton of money aside, you know, every single year. When I look at Battalion 2715 and 2705, we have to put annually $6,100 a year. And that's based on what we expect their lifespan to be. And so that's what we do. So when you look at, well, what do we put aside this year? We actually put $129,000 from the general fund into the fire reserve because that's our plan. Every single year we'll do that same thing, and this will adjust based on the apparatus that we have in this plan. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so sorry for all the detail, but I want you to understand it. You can see the new wildfire risk vehicle. We put that in there. We know that its value is $32,000. We're going to replace it. It's likely going to cost $40,000 when we replace it, and we will calculate out what we need to put aside. We have a couple more numbers we're waiting for when that's going to be replaced, and then we'll have a dollar figure that we're going to put aside annually to replace that one. I would also say that we are lucky. Let's make sure I don't want to jump ahead of myself on the agenda. So we'll talk briefly about it. We're lucky that if the board chooses to accept, we're going to have some grant funds. And so then this puts us ahead of the game because we've been putting money aside to replace those vehicles, or should be. Those funds are still going to be there, but the vehicles won't be free, but they'll be significantly less than, I think, what was the match on that, 25%?
Yeah.
25%. So 75% of the cost of that vehicle is going to be paid for in a grant. And so there's your spoiler alert on that. Ultimately, the parks vehicles are all on here as well. So we put all the pickup trucks in here. We do the same thing. We know that they're going to be 15 years there. A little bit different. We give them a little bit longer life because they're not severe duty. They're not jamming on the brakes and the gas all the time, going code 3 to an accident. We've got trailers on here as well, and the intent is also for us to move into some of our other capital items. There's not a ton of them, but there are some. I can think of like your big fans on the engine, your hearse tools or hydraulic tools on an engine. We'll want to capitalize those. The $30,000 heart monitors, we'll want to capitalize those. Those are the types of things that will be on there, because either we'll have to get a grant or another grant, or they'll have to be, we'll have to replace that out of our fund. And so that we should be taking a certain amount and putting aside every single year to pay for those as well. That's what I had for you. We're not going to call it the CIP anymore. We're going to call it the CRP, Capital Replacement Plan. I will also tell you that this is a snapshot. This tells us what we should put away. That doesn't mean we're always going to have the cash to put away. Where we're at right now with fire, we're putting what we should be putting aside. We calc that out. We put that aside this last year. You all approved that, and we made the movement on that one. Parks, we have not done that yet. It is our plan to come back, and for this next fiscal year, as we build out the budget, we want to put that in there. So we will now have a number that we need to put aside for parks. But we need to do some work on parks because we need to get rid of some vehicles. We have too many.
What about other items like pool equipment? Something here at the community.
Yeah, great question, Katie. So, yeah, we'll do the same thing. You know, the pump will be capitalized. Some of the other things are harder to capitalize because they're not a thing, if you will. It's something they come in like the, when we look at the, I always forget the name, not the gun, the
plaster
every time. I can't remember that word. The plaster. We know that's going to be $300,000 or so. I think that's something we need to look at. I don't know if we call that capital or not. We want to work with the auditors and Ken to see, what do we classify that as? Maybe it's on here, but it's called something different or not capitalized because it's, I don't know if you can capitalize that. I can talk to him a little bit more on that one. But we should be looking at those major items. Our pool suite, which we need a new one.
HVAC.
Yes. Yeah, those we are looking at all those. But pool suite, obviously, we'll capitalize that. It's about $6,000. When we look at some of the other things that we purchase, if it falls into that capitalized item, we need to do that. Brad, great point. Anytime you have your HVAC systems and those kind of things, you do want to put that in. The generators at the stations, you want to put that in here. Ironically, we don't have a generator for this facility, which blows my mind. How do we miss all the millions and millions and millions of dollars being passed out for generators for every facility? So that's kind of where we're at with the capital items. This is a living document. We've never had this before. And so this team's been doing a great job of putting everything in there. First, we need to find out everything that we have. That comes with this document. So I just want to give you guys a brief on that.
Comment?
Tim's going to be happy.
He wasn't at the last meeting. Never mind. We're going to stop.
Well, he's been promoting this ever since I've met him.
Yeah, is there something here that he's not happy with?
Any other questions?
Okay.
We'll talk later.
All right. Moving on then to item number 4, senior nutrition contract.
Yes, and so I have a statement before we jump into that. I just want you all to know there is no intent and no recommendation for us not to continue this program. It was simply just being transparent. We told you we would be transparent, bring everything to you, and that's what we're doing. So we got a request, and we get a lot of requests, so I'll kind of put them all together for you. We got a request from the county to renew this agreement, and Mark, myself, and Clarissa, we all read through that agreement, and it was surprising, at least to me, I don't know if all of us, but we essentially were getting $200 a year for commercial dishwashing soap. That was the extent of the exchange, and I'm like, well, what does that really mean? I mean, it just comes down to what are we using it? There's a significant impact on the center, and we love it. We are not complaining at all. We have rolled their team right into our team. They're back in a little bit bigger space, closer to the kitchen now. I think it's gotten a lot more popular now with the COVID kind of dying away and everybody coming back. We're getting 20, 30 people, and we're so much so that we're splitting the rooms of the senior social hour and the senior nutrition because this room is just packed. And we don't want any more fights. We're separate the groups out.
That
and so
that group of seniors very happy.
They seem to be very happy with that.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
And with that, it's two tables.
Father respect him. He's 89 years old.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. So, some of the details, and I want to just provide this to you because I've never seen it before, and I don't know if you guys knew this, but the social room, they're scheduled from Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 1:30 in the social room, and that's senior nutrition. We've now moved them over into the main hall, third of the main hall, I guess we'd call it, next to the kitchen, like I said, when we can. If there's other things in here, then they wind up back in here, but we work with their team so they know where they're going to be. So the total use is 3 hours per day, 5 days a week. Senior legal services, classroom A or classroom B, they meet the third Wednesday of each month from 10 to 3, 5 hours per month. And so when you look at the numbers using our book of fees, we just put that on there for potential loss of revenue. I'm not saying that's what we're actually losing. We're going to have to do a deeper dive to see. I haven't heard a lot of times where they say, well, we can't have that because of X, but it also might be just because when they call in, our staff's saying, hey, that's not available that day. So that might be what that is. Sorry, let me get this back in. Okay. Sorry, teaching today. Okay. So the approximate impact is $8,600 a month, approximately, or $100,000 a year, $103,000 a year. I'm not saying that's real money, that's lost money. I'm just simply stating we want to bring that to your attention, that there is no revenue coming in for these programs, and I'm not even making a record that there should be. I did do a little research. They were paying some sites, you know, kind of a rent or a lease, but my understanding is they haven't done that anymore. There was one up the hill. They just don't do that anymore. They're having budget challenges up there as well, and so we've had great conversations with them and just really let them know that we understand this, and normally we would just sign it, but I do want to bring it to our board so at least they have the awareness and they can say, hey, we want to continue this. Our recommendation is a great program. We love it. I stop in every day, wave to them, talk to them, sit down with them, and that seems to be pretty good. I know Mark comes in. He chats with them. I think he was actually trying to eat lunch the other day.
They didn't have any extra.
Well, we both qualify. Just let's keep it real.
But you have to reserve first.
You do have to reserve first. Thank you, Katie. I learned that. He tried. But anyways, we put the facility use agreement in there. You know, we just, again, this is informational for you because we just haven't seen it before.
I would say that we shouldn't be losing money, so we should at least get staffing costs recovered.
Yeah. Staffing, we have looked at that, and so Mark's team does have that's every day. You know, we have people every single day that set it up, break it down, clean it up. So there is a cost to that, 100%. What we've done with, say, like Rotary, we've been able to give them a little bit of a discount because, but they pay every meeting. We've given them a little bit of a discount because we're already set up for EdCar the exact same day, the exact same format, so we're not breaking it down in between. We're setting up something else, so we've given them a little bit off that way. But senior nutrition, there's just no, this is one of several. I mean, we get hit up a lot as a community center. We get hit up a ton. PG&E, we're looking at an agreement right now that we've signed year after year after year. And the agreement basically states that if we have PSPS events and we need a center to open up for people to go to, that's going to be here. We get zero revenue for that, and we gave them the entire campus, and we would cancel all of our programming. Well, for me, that's problematic. It's a private company. I just have issues with that, so we're looking at that, but we get a lot of those. There was another agreement. What was the third one?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie. That was a big one.
That was on my list.
Yep. Yep. 100%. So again, when those occur, we can't have other things going on. So PSPS is here. We can't have the kiddos out of the pool. We can't have basketball going. Those have to go away. Same thing when we become an evacuation center. They take the entire facility. We can keep the office open, but they literally have access to the entire facility, and we can't have any other programming going on. That is absolutely 100% lost revenue because we have things that are scheduled and we'll have to cancel those. I get that. Emergency evacuation, we're the largest evacuation center in the county. I think that's the right thing to do, and it doesn't happen all the time. But understand that it's not just the lost revenue, but it's the potential of that client never coming back because we canceled their wedding or their quinceañera or something super important to them, and it could be close to their date. That's a big deal. And so they might not ever want to come back to us, and so we just have to take that into account. Specifically to this one, they've told us they have no money. They might need to look at other options. I think it's a phenomenal service that we do. My concern, and not just this program, is we have all of these other competing entities that want us to give stuff for free. We can't do that for everybody. So PSPS, PG&E, that's an easy one for me. Homeland Security, OES, that's an easy one for me. I think absolutely yes, we do that, but we've never asked for reimbursement. I think we did get $1,000 once from the Red Cross for some things, but no, we need to be locked into the system. We had a great meeting the other day. We're drafting up an agreement right now. We need to be reimbursed for the entire center. So when you consider that, we looked at the numbers. It was like $2,400. When you look at what it costs with $220 a day and then the kitchen being another amount and this being $120, the classrooms are $70 a piece, the gym's $120. You have to add all the pool. You have to add the pool costs because we can't have them out there still. So they need to have this daily rate. And when they come in, and it's when I say they, it'll be El Dorado County OES, but that goes back to the state and then to the feds for reimbursement. But we should have a daily rate. And I had a great chat with Dusty. I know he completely supports this. It's no different than when they go up to the fairgrounds. There's a daily rate. And Cal Fire goes in there for a big incident. They're paying a daily rate on this is what it is. So I think we're going to do the same thing there. So I gave you a lot of information, but I just wanted to bring this to your attention.
Public comment on...
Oh, I don't want to see any kind of negativity about the food program or as far, because we fought long and hard for what's going on. And really, and your senior room, let's face it, that's not going to last, because as those people sadly leave us or get infirm and can't get here, mm-hmm. There will be nobody. So I'm glad to see the food programs. I'm hoping there's a lot of people coming, because we fought hard, and if it wasn't for Sheba Frenson, we never would have gotten it here. Yeah. So if it was to drop to a few people, I would say, yes, it wouldn't be cost effective. Mm-hmm. But you never know. The county may roll that up too, because they're hurting too. So, you know, it's just kind of a crapshoot, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Brad McMullen, Campbell Park. I 1,000% support OES pain and PG&E pain.
Oh, yeah.
The PG&E decides on PSPSs.
Yeah.
And they do it to their benefit, not to our benefit.
Yeah, right.
So they should pay if that's in fact what they're going to be doing.
Yeah. And great comment. I think in that agreement, as we're still looking through that, kind of the in-kind, if you will, and Mark and I are still figuring this out, we get this big old generator that just somebody drops off, packs in, plug into our building, and, hey, we gave you guys a generator. Well, no, we need to do our due diligence. We should be looking for a grant to get our own generator permanently installed here, because that's not a thing. That's not something that we need to have our own. We need that regardless if they're here or not. But we shouldn't be giving away our entire facility.
You guys don't have backup power?
We do not have backup power right now. Nope.
No.
We do not.
Is that PG&E's saying, we're giving you this power, so we want the building for
free? Well, we're giving you the generator.
Yeah. Power.
Yes. Yes.
And we want the building for free.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So we're looking at that. We're going to start looking at grants for the generators. We missed it, you know, the Y2K and all that. Every fire department USA got a big brand new generator for their fire station. I don't know how we didn't get on that train, and we need one here.
And
sure.
HQs.
And HQ, everybody got them. Schools, yeah.
Okay. Any other private comment? All
right. Private
Okay, moving on to number 5, policy 33330.5, in-kind.
Rolling through this one tonight.
In-kind.
Okay, in-kind, this is cleanup. Again, we've had a process for many, many years with CAL FIRE with our hand crews, and they've been gracious to allow us usage of their hand crews to come out and do some of our defensible space and more fuels reduction work throughout the district on district property and whatnot. Been phenomenal. It is an audit finding, and it hasn't been a finding because, again, it's just what you tell the auditor. They look in those things. We know this is going to be a finding, and we just haven't done a great job in tracking. So we've got a bulletproof process that we're looking at now that has a tracker. It's got everything on both directions, meaning how much work did we get, when do we get it, what did they do, where was it at. All of that is now in there. And then I'll see if I can bring that up for you, is now in there. But we're also tracking on the CAL FIRE side, what are we giving you for that? And so how the system works is they give us time, crew time. We keep track of that, and it's roughly $300, $400 a day. So we keep track of that. No money exchanges hands there. They get to a point to say, hey, we need new radios. And we say, okay, we have the total here. This is how much you have. They spend, well, we need $5,000. Okay, you have $8,000. They spend the $5,000. They have $3,000 left in the in-kind account. So that's what we're doing now, but we're tracking it a lot better. Let's see here. Next. This is critically important for us because we just haven't done a great job on that, and we need to make sure we're doing. I don't know if we're going to get that one. Yeah, we'll get that one up.
You missed it.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. Okay. So we're tracking that a lot better. I think it's an auditor-proof document. I know they've kind of looked at it and say, yeah, that's exactly what we should be doing. And then it also it tracks what CAL FIRE purchased. It tracks what it was purchased for, what the amount was, the invoice is tied to it, so we know exactly what it is. And so this is a process we've had for many, many years. We just cleaned it up. And so if you look at Attachment 5A, that is kind of the things, the columns, and it kind of gives you an idea of what we're looking, what the spreadsheet's going to look like when that's all completed. Any questions on that?
Public comment.
I love seeing them working.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing great.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lucky to have them.
We just have to budget on our side because it still costs us money, you know, down the road. But it's you're not going to beat $400 a day for a full crew and the work that they get done. They clean this entire community center, all the weeds and the creek all the way around here. It was so much so they came and pruned all the trees. They were done in a couple hours.
Yeah,
like 3 hours. And
I'm running around looking for more work.
Exactly, it was that quick. And I'm like, we had you here for 2 days. So they're pretty quick.
I read today on one of their posts that they're cleaning the rail line from like Shingle Springs Depot west, all the rail tracks. It's amazing.
Yeah,
they're doing a lot of good work for sure.
Did you see all that wood that they stacked up by the dog park? And like it was gone the next day.
It was gone. They were taking it as so I was out there that day.
Uh-huh.
As they were bucking it up, people were pulling up, and we opened the gate to let people go.
It was just so neat.
Damn,
they
did it.
Apparently, Pop Fire was popular.
It was amazing. It was gone. I mean, gone, gone. And what was left, when I left at night, the following morning, I went there to open it up, it was gone. So like, in the night, they had to go over the split rail fence to get to it. But people must have been there taking it away.
They yeah, were.
Going around.
That's amazing.
I don't even know the word gets out. Are we sending that out there for? There we go.
No. The regulars probably talk to each other.
Gotcha.
Well, it was. I recognized several of the folks. They were the regulars at the dog park.
Yeah.
The dog park.
Oh, they knew.
They had the inside scoop on.
They knew. So real quick, Katie, if you would, sorry to go back. I do have this tracker up now, so this is kind of what it looks like on our side. And it tells us total invoiced, what the in-kind is, what we budget it for. So we'll be able to use this as a really good tracker. Services received, and these are all drop down. So we'll put what crew type, where they did the work, like I said, and then the total amount due, and it calculates all this. The value returned, this is where we're purchasing things. So Cal Fire is buying something. This is what we're giving back to them. And then this is just an exchange summary. On this one right here. So I know the auditor likes this kind of stuff. This is auditor proof, and so we're going to be compliant. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Okay, moving on then to number 6, mid-year budget review.
Mid-year budget review. Okay, so staff sat down, and there's no, I would say, major changes. This is really more of an update and chat about. These are the same numbers we brought to you at, I believe, your last budget and admin meeting. With some minor changes. So we'll do department by department, and then we'll go back and we'll do the roll-ups. But when I look at some of the major challenges, total expenditures, there was nothing really that was out of whack, with the exception of we're way, way under on wages and salaries. So for salaries for admin only. And a lot of that has to be is Mark allocates his time 50% parks and then 50% to admin. So that's a change, but he is doing 50%, so it really needs to be in that area. And so, and the other part is, I'm sorry, facilities as well, right?
Yeah.
Part of recreation and parks and facilities, recreation. So he's allocating his time 50-50 between the two, which is one of the reasons why we're lower. The other reason is we do have one vacancy, decent salary rate, and so there's been savings in that as well. And so that is, that's a positive for us looking at that number. There were no other major components. We looked at retiree health. Our health benefits, and we approved for $38,900, and right now we're at $24,000. I'd say we're tracking on that. That might come a little above, but we'll make a end year adjustment on that one. I don't think it'll be significant. Let's see. Retirement, we actually are trending over on that at 103%, or roughly $9,000 over. But the good news is there's a lump sum payment. It came in higher than we anticipated by $9,000. There's no more payments to that, so we know that's going to be a lock solid number. We'll make an adjustment at the end of the year of the $9,297. And I think as you see, when we continue to go, there's savings in other areas where we came in significantly under. I think they're going to even each other out. So that's where that looks like on there. Trying to hit the major ones for you. Auditing and accounting, this one's interesting. We're going to bring this back where all of our auditing is going to show up in one location. We looked at the iBailey agreement the other day, and it looks like we're doing really good on that one. Ken's been doing great. He doesn't even really bill us that often. So we're doing really, really good in that section as well. Computer software, computer software, you know, with 60% of the year expended, you know, we're coming in a little bit high, and I think you'll see that in all the departments. They're trending a little bit higher. We've had a couple laptops go down. We've had to purchase a few laptops, desktop, and some other hardware, and so that's why that number is going to be a little bit elevated over where we normally are.
Capitalizing that?
We will capitalize. Well, no. Laptop is, it's you know, you're talking about $1,200 for a laptop, and their capital threshold is $5,000.
So when you replace laptops, mm-hmm. where do you get them?
When we place the laptops, we get them spec'd through our IT company.
Oh, okay.
But what we're doing now is they used to purchase them, and they set them up for us, and they put a fee on both sides. So they would buy the laptop, put a fee on top of it,
yeah.
and then they had to set it up, put a fee on top of
They're
it.
Not
so
going to math, sorry.
No. So now we have them. They spec it out. We buy it. So we will go to like a Best Buy, or it might even be an Amazon, or we'll go to a vendor like that, and then we'll say, hey, what are you going to charge us to set it up?
Yeah.
And that's way more efficient. It was a significant amount we were saving per computer, but that's, we're just used to doing it that way.
I was just going to tell you, we do have vendors that come in and buy the laptops at Sam's,
mm-hmm.
but you know, there's no way that anybody can set them up. You just,
yeah.
There's one guy up in Placerville that buys all the time.
Mm.
I think it's called Bliss Computers.
Okay. So we got a pretty good plan there. They do that. I won't say they do it for free. They're charging us monthly for, but they're specking it out for us so we know what to buy. We looked at insurance. Again, that's going to be one you're saying, holy smokes, we're 98%. Yes, but remember, it's a one-time payment. We make one payment, we're done for the year. So right now we're at $321,000. So we came in actually under by $6,600. For the wildfire mitigator vehicle, we added that one. So that might bring that down a little bit, savings wise, but that'll offset a significant amount of that $9,000 that we're over, in the health up top. So we want to highlight that to you. Member subscriptions, we're at 96%, and that'll just be one that they watch. When they get to that number, it'll just stop. So I'm not too concerned about that one.
You passed the legal fees.
Did I?
Yeah,
that was not on purpose. Legal fees.
Yeah.
This is one that you're going to see us change. Because right now we have legal fees in all the departments, and we shouldn't be doing that. Because, like the fire department, I can't think of a time where they got legal fees. So we really need to have that. That's an administrative cost, and that's where it needs to go. But putting it in every department, there's no rhyme or reason. We're just taking the total legal fees, divide that by the number of departments, and we shouldn't be doing that. That'll be a cleanup item in next fiscal year, where all that just needs to be in administration. That's where we're going to put that moving forward. We are trending higher on that. I will tell you, we've had some personnel issues. We've got the lawsuit. It doesn't hit us because that's paid for by our risk insurance, SCRMA. But we have had some other legal items that we've been dealing with, whether it's personnel, whether it's cleaning up policy. We had an issue with a vendor with the fire department. We had an issue with one of the park vendors and with the aeration system out there. And we've had to engage with the attorneys to say, hey, write the letters. What do we need to do here? And they've been phenomenal. So, yeah, we're using them more than we have in the past. But I will tell you that we'll adjust the budget in year. And next year, if we need to adjust higher, we'll do that. I will recommend we never go back to not using the attorneys, because it hurts us in the long run.
Yeah.
So that's what I got for you on that one. So we are trending a little bit higher on that. But we'll come back at the end year, have a better number for you. The other one is 96% was phones and internet. And again, we're going to look at that. And the ones that we can say definitively, yes, this is a bill we got for recreation phones or for parks, we will put that number in there. If we can't, and we're just simply guessing, saying divide it by five, we're not going to do that anymore. That's just going to be an admin, and we'll put that in the new budgets. Overall, we're 71% of the budget expended, with 60% of the year gone, and so that's not a horrible number. I think I call that tracking right on, because remember, two of those really big payments, we don't have any more payments. So that number, I think we're probably ahead of the game on that one. Okay, we'll move the fire. Oh, unless you have any questions. You want me to stop at each one, Katie, or just roll through?
Go ahead.
Okay. For fire, I'm making it super big for us here. Okay, give me 1 second, and I will unfreeze those panes. Where is freeze and view? There it is. Okay. Okay, so when we look at expenditures here, fire department's looking really, really good. As I look down, I see nothing major. I know you see that 145%, but then just keep in mind that the budget was $366 and it's $531, and that was FICA, Medicare, and we can't really control that. That's what comes in. That's what we put. We might need to do an adjustment, but that won't be a significant amount on that one. We're at 196% on computer software, and like I said, both of those are trending relatively high. Your software increase is likely going to be partially because of Fleetio, the implementation of our fleet management system, and we also implemented we will call it employee management system, if you will. All of our rec leaders and lifeguards were in an old legacy system. We've had to upgrade it. And so since we had to upgrade it, I said, hey, we also need to get our part-timers and parks facilities in there, and we also need to get all of our fire interns in there, or reserve fires, what they're going to be called new. We had no visibility in the fire reserves. That's problematic for us because they're not fire department employees. They're actually employees of the district. So we want to make sure that we're tracking their time. That'll be good for the auditor to see that. We can actually approve, you know, all of those things like we should be doing. So there's a slight increase for that, but I don't expect anything major coming in over and above that number.
Well,
yes.
Good question. Are you going to be tracking the time of your overall volunteers? Because that will probably be they'll want to put a dollar value on that too, and put that into the...
Great question. Absolutely. So sounds like we have a couple applications coming in and we're getting ready for a couple big events. We have more people that are interested. 100%. We'll need to track those hours, and because there's value to that as well.
Right.
So we'll come up with what that dollar, it doesn't mean it's more money to the agency. It just means we need to track that for auditing purposes.
Yeah, we did it for my organization that was all volunteer attorneys. So
great question. 78% expended in the bank charges, and that just has to do with the number, you know, coming across. We're at 196%, like we said, on the computer software. Other numbers are tracking in. Oh, I almost skipped over that big number, didn't I? So 29% sounds like a low number, 60% of the year. That just means that we just got our quarter one, and we literally just wrote the check. Mark and I signed it like last week. So that was higher than anticipated, I will tell you. It's the highest I've seen in a while, $924,858.93. However, we also had some lingering folks that are on there that are retiring, and so those will be coming off. And then the other thing is we have had a lot of deployments, and remember, we have to pay the overtime and everything for that, and then we get reimbursed. So you'll see an offset to a lot of that. Dusty did tell me that quarter two is near, and it is coming in significantly lower than that, so that's a good thing. And so we'll just track that. There's no decision to be made until we get quarter two and look and see what the rest of the year is going to look like. But I wanted to bring that up to you. That's a small one there. 206%. This is one that we're going to have to address. It's a good news, bad news. The good news is we've had a lot of interest in the reserve program. The bad news is that Cal Fire keeps hiring away, and we got to start all over again. And so this number really represents the stipends, and it represents background checks and all those kind of things for those folks. So we're going to have to look at a little bit different way of budgeting for that next year. You can never tell how many interns you're going to get, what the interest is going to be. But we do know that we still got to pay them their stipend. And every time a new one comes in, we have to send them through a background and all of that. The good news is, and we might have to modify our volunteer policy a little bit, is when they are laid off from Cal Fire after the season, a lot of those interns that we had previously, now going to be called reserves, they come back to us. And they come back to us really as a volunteer. And so that's what we're cleaning up. So that's a good thing for us. So we still have three four, sometimes five people on an engine, only because those guys and gals are coming back once they're laid off Cal Fire. And then when the fire season starts again, they'll go away. We'll get a whole new batch of people again. So that number is going to continue to rise. We'll look at adjusting that budget so it doesn't look like a crazy overage next year. Maintenance and grounds, we are over. Some of these are going to be coding issues, and we've had a great conversation. We had a phenomenal meeting the other day with our entire team, and we were looking at how we're coding things, and Laura created a great document that we can all use that tells us, hey, this is what you should code this to, here's why, and all that. So that's been really, really helpful, and we'll get better at coding these so you won't see these crazy anomalies.
That's a broken pipe.
Yes, I've got there. Yes, 100%. But in this case, we did have an emergency, and we're going to have those. We just can't plan for those. And so that was the broken pipe we had there at 89. Obviously, that's going to hit the budget. That's where it comes from. So we're going to be high on this one. And I can't see there won't be other things that occur like that. The other one I want to bring to your attention, I know that's 133%, but the budget was $100. That's 111. The budget was 3,000. And I'm looking at that, professional services, and we can drill down into what those are. We can have that, you know, available to you for the board meeting. But I don't anticipate many more coming in like that. Same thing with the staff development. Staff development's going to be interesting. That one hasn't been used a lot, but apparently we're using that for some classes and things like that now. And it was just coded differently before. So we're probably going to change that to something different for budgets in the future when we see that. That number, we'll budget higher for that number for the fire department, because I think if they're using that code now where we haven't used it before, you're going to see it used more. So I think we're just training a lot more. Let's see. The capital expense, we're tracking right on that. We're at $37,000, 68% of the budget expended with 60% of the year gone. I think that's tracking right on. So we call that capital equipment expense. We're probably going to change the name of that because that insinuates that we're buying capital items. This is for everything fire station related that we're repairing or they're upgrading and those kinds of things. That's what's going to be in that number. So we'll probably title that a little bit different. So this has been a learning experience for all of us as we look through the budget going, hey, that really doesn't make sense. So we'll make suggestions to the board on changing some of these. But that $55,000, I can tell you, they've been hitting that and doing what they need to do at the stations, and they've never looked better. Anything on that one, or you want me to keep going?
Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Parks. Sorry, I should have did this before. View. Unfreeze. Okay. Okay, parks, another good shiny day, but when we see recreation, you'll see why that's going to change. So salaries, permanent is coming in at 31% with 60% of the year expended. That's phenomenal. We did make a change at the last minute prior to approval of the budget because recreation was way out of whack, way higher than normal. So we did make an adjustment over to parks. Parks is lower. Mark has had an open position we didn't fill. And so that's a big portion of this. But a lot of it is just that we probably need to shift some of this back to recreation. And so we'll have a recommendation. Likely that'll be 75,000 to 100,000, but staff still looking at that. We'll have a recommendation to you. It doesn't impact the budget. All that does is it makes Mark's number comes down to where they should be at the 60-ish range, and it brings recreation up to where they should be, and you'll see that in the next slide. So that's the explanation for that. And I just put some savings on an open position, so we have notes under why. And next year's budget, you'll see even more notes to all of these things. You'll have the names of the vendors we're using and those kind of things as part of the process. There's an open maintenance worker 2 position, and then also landscape services will be added to this, but we're looking in the funds that we have for that, so we're hoping that's not going to be a significant impact because we're under budget on that, and that's going to be within that footprint. So that's what that looks like there. Some of the major changes, everything is tracking in alignment. Again, FICA Medicare, you can see that trend. We're over on this one as well, but we're over by $161, and so we'll continue to watch that one. We'll go down small amount there. Can I just say that Parks looks really, really good?
Yes, you may.
So the one, right? The one big anomaly at 448% over budget. We've had some significant issues with our mowers. And so the zero turn mower was out for a while. So you'll see that piece in there. So we have had to lease one. Probably could have bought one by now, but that's again one of those challenges that we have to look at. With the addition of the landscaping company, we're hoping that we can keep one mower, use that where we need to use that, at the parks we need to use that, the landscapers do the rest. And that's not taking work from anybody. There's plenty of work. We just want to get our maintenance folks back to doing maintenance, repair work, and then some of those mundane tasks, we'll hire a company to do that, much like we did janitorial services here, which has worked out great. We have talked to the union about that, and they are in support. They don't like it, but they say they are in support from the union head. We're at 96%, but that was small. That was just vehicle maintenance on that one. Couple anomalies. 71%, I want to bring to your attention, for electricity. We're at 71%, so we're a little bit high on that one, but others are coming in significantly lower, so I think, again, there'll be an offset to that one. When we look at 60 vandalism, that one's just running a little bit higher, but it's not crazy. I think we'll come on track. It's a small number. All said and done, though, folks, we're at 36% expended, with 60% of the year gone. And so that's really good. We have some room to make it. We need to make some adjustments. Let me show you a different story now. Okay, yeah, froze there. Let me unfreeze these. Okay. So when we look at salaries permanent, this is the other story we're telling you about. With 60% of the year, we are 92% expended. And so, again, there's a couple things that are going on here that we haven't done before, or maybe we didn't do it as well as we should have, but we're allocating a portion of Mark's time over to facilities, recreation, and so that's hitting in here a portion of his time. We also had an instance where we had our receptionist was assigned there, so her time was being allocated there. We're recommending, and we've already moved her. She's now reporting to administration and the general manager. Her time's going to be allocated there. So when you saw how significantly under we were in admin, we're going to be shifting her position over there. That'll bring that down, but not significantly. It's not a high expense position, if you will. So that's where that is. We're also trending a little bit high on the health benefits as well. So that's a 61, I won't say trending high, we're at 61% and 60, so I think we're right in there. We're at 105%, and that's going to be computer hardware. Do you guys see a trend on that one? We have had to, we did have to buy a new laptop. We had the empty desk, and we had to buy, I believe, about a new desktop and some monitors also. Our monitors for about 5,000 pounds each, and yeah, we had to get rid of them. So we did that. The other one that we are a little bit higher than I anticipated, it's 50%, but I still look at it. Most of this was the pool doctor contract. We need them. They make sure our chemicals stay, the pool stays where it needs to stay. If there's something that breaks, like our heater's problematic, the water drops too low sometimes, they're on it. They're out here. We haven't had many down days this year. Not near as how many as we had last year. Yeah,
and they weren't full days
yet. They weren't full days. And so they've done great work. So that one's trending higher. You will see pool chemicals in here as well. We are still working in the muriatic acid tank. We've recently found out after we walked through with the county, we have to get a permit for that. So they're going to come out. And they didn't say it was going to be a significant deal for us, but they're going to come out and work with us on what that permit's going to look like. Then we'll get that tank out here, and that'll be, I'm hoping, $15,000 to $20,000 in savings. So that'll be good. 79%, again, it's not a big number, and that's the EDC department. There's a couple things in there. I believe that was the LAFCO. And so for whatever, LAFCO is a little bit higher this year. And so this amount, I believe, we put it across all the departments. Again, we shouldn't be doing that because the departments, that's not a department cost. We need to pull that back to admin. That's an administrative fee. We just allocated it evenly across all the departments, which doesn't make a lot of sense for us. So we're changing it. Let's see. Everything else is tracking. We get to this 500%. This is a big one for us, maintenance and grounds. And the reason for that is we made a decision to paint the fence, and we also did some pool deck, the pool deck fence, the pool tile repair, and we had a broken backflow valve that was leaking, and so we had to make sure that that was taken care of. So that's why when you look at that, we budgeted $4,000. We're at $20,000 or $16,107 over. We'll find that within the budget. I don't think we're going to have to come back to the board and ask for additional funding for that, but that was a conscious decision that we made. Excuse me, for the fencing with all the rusting and the issues that we're having on that, is either, you know, pay the, I believe, Mark, what was that, $12,000? Pay the $12,000 today for that, or replace the fencing, which probably would have been a couple $100,000 when you look at all the fencing that we have, or more. So that's why that number is significantly higher. 254%, and that is at the membership and subscriptions. And again, when we look at that, they'll be dialing back, and we'll also be digging into this one to see if we've coded something inappropriately in that one. But that's likely what that is, but we'll give more information for you on that one. 220%, that is going to be office supplies and expenses. And again, I'm working with staff to figure out why are we over on that. And it might be a coding error. As soon as I get that information, we'll have that on there, but I wanted to highlight that for you. Not a big number, $777, but we look at every penny. The 183% professional services, let's see, that's trending over by $2,500. What was in professional services? We talked about that one. Pool doctor was in the other one.
No, that's legal.
HR consultant.
This is specific. We'll get the GL code and break that down. We did look at the other day, and my apologies, I didn't put a note on there like I thought it was. Okay, Mark will look into that one for us right now. That 95, but it's $45 over, so I know it looks crazy, but that's where we're at. All said and done, again, even with the significant, I won't say overage, but they're bumping the budget at 90%+. We're still at 56% with 60% of the year extended, so it's not crazy. Our thought is, however, making a recommendation probably end year to shift. It might come mid-year. We're playing with that still. To shift at least $75,000 from parks over into recreation, much like we did going the other direction. We probably should have left it there. But again, we were all new to building this budget, and we were trying to figure out what was happening before we got here. That's where we're at today. But all said and done, I think we're tracking right where we need to track. I'm very, very happy with that. CC&R is going to be one that we have to look at. Oops, let me unfreeze this. There was no major anomalies on this, but I do think the $12 per parcel we're going to be bumping against. For when revenue comes in, we'll offset that by some of the ARC fees. That offsets the $12 that we're getting, but we just need to keep an eye on that. Some of the highlights, we're at 125% on the agency administration fee, but we, like we said, like the others, that was because of the LAFCO, and everybody gets a portion of that. 108% on computer software. We did have to buy Jim a new laptop this year. His died. We also had to buy a new docking station because he moved over to the fire station. So that's where those come in. It looks like a big number, but it really isn't a big number in the scheme of things. We're at 99% again in the EDC apartment. They're all running high on that, and we can get a better breakdown for you on it. Everything else is trending on. My concern, and we did break this one out a little bit different. We did put revenue in because, remember, we need to look at this as almost like an enterprise fund because it has its own revenue stream at the $12 per parcel, so we wanted to capture that here. And so that's what this looks like. So when you look at property taxes, and this we could not figure out. We're going to talk to Joe on that. Not a big number, but what's the property taxes through $300? So we need to figure out what that number is.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Why do you need a different docking station at the fire station than you would need here?
It broke. It died. Yeah, the laptop, his new laptop, had to have a different one, and that one wasn't going to be. We tried it, and it didn't work, and so we had to get a new one. Yep, and they're a couple $100. Where we are looking at here, revenue-wise, special assessments, we're 52% of the revenue coming in with 60% of the year expended, so we're a little bit behind. I'm not too concerned about that. 59% of the ARC fees coming in at 60% of the year. Again, I think that's really good. I think our busy months are still coming up. So that looks good. And then the other one was other income. Mark, do you have a breakdown on other? Oh, I'm sorry. Other income was not big. That's the total. We're at 53% of revenue at 60% of the year. So we're tracking behind a little bit. All said and done, when we scroll all the way down, it looks like we're negative, but we have to wait for the other revenue to come in to see where we're truly going to be. I think this is going to be a great discussion for the board for in-year conversation, because we have to figure out, does the board, or should we be augmenting CC&R if they do come in over budget? And I just think that's a good conversation. My recommendation is no. We have to figure something else out, just like the LLADs. That's going to be a really big conversation, because we are augmenting that, and we can't keep doing that. That's all I have for you there. Let me see if I had anything on roll-ups. Not even sure we calc that out. This one's just hard to – all the revenue's not in, so this one is kind of skewed. But you saw all the individual departments. But by and large, you saw every single one of them. We are under budget for where we need to be. I'll take any questions you might have.
Anything
else?
Professional services one, miscoding. That's where.
Perfect. You can throw it out there.
Yeah, so the question under 5,000 professional services, there was a miscoding of about $5,000 that should have been in the contract service, okay. 5420. So it was just in the wrong area.
And we'll get better. Remember, until this year, our department heads have never done any of the coding or any of that stuff. So as they're learning the coding, and this great document that Laura put together has been really, really helpful, as they build their budgets and they're looking at their budgets and they're running their budget to actuals, the department heads are doing that now. And so I think this is going to get better and better and better, but we have some development left. That's all.
We have one code that is 5240 yes. And another one that's 5420.
That hurts.
And you would not believe how easy it is to mix up those
yes. numbers. We're all dyslexic, it turns out.
Yeah. To the tune of 5,000.
Yeah.
Public comment?
Who was doing the coding before?
It was done by our finance and HR officer. Okay. Did a lot of the coding.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Fred Mullen, Kim Report. We went to a new financial software program, correct?
No.
No.
We went to a new recreation management software, which is almost done. The financial management system is Abila, and we've had that for six, 7 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Are these numbers coming exporting and importing, or are you hand-stroking all these numbers?
Yeah, so for this document, what we did was we took the report that came out of Abila and converted it over to the spreadsheet, and we had some cleanup and everything to do. This right now is definitely a lot of hard coding. The ideal is for us to have one sheet that tracks all of these things. Unfortunately, our financial management system doesn't give us the most flexibility. It's not the easiest to use, and so we have to use this system we have to use a spreadsheet for a while.
I would caution you on hard coding, because errors are made.
Trust me, I get that, and we have found some.
If you could connect this spreadsheet to the software through ODBC or some other export CSV and bring it in.
We do that. And then, export. We export to this spreadsheet, but then we have to clean it up.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Anything, Barbara?
You know what I would like to see is, and I mentioned it to the chief earlier, I've mentioned it to John, is I would like to see the rentals on this building every month. It doesn't have to be a huge detail. They used to always provide to us, you know, and I don't mean the repeat people. I mean the quinceañeras and the people renting the building for whatever purpose. I just want to see how successful the rentals on the building is. And I also would like to know what the swim teams are paying us. There has been an increase. We used to be able to be provided those, because things are going up. And I'm hoping that, as much as I don't want to put costs on families, just the way it is. And I mean, it's costing more to open the doors here, and the people using this place are going to have to pay more. And the same thing goes to our sports fields.
Yeah.
So those are things I'm hoping that we are looking at.
And we're tracking them.
And if especially this building, and then I also wanted to know about the classes. But I was talking to a couple people from El Dorado Hills, and I'm not going to ask that because really they're probably not making a lot of money to begin with. So, but I am interested on the rentals.
So we have those. So they have the assembly hall and classroom rentals. With 60% of the year expended, we're at 51% of budget. So we budgeted $60,000, and we're at $30,438 in our busy season.
But who's renting? I want to know who's renting it. I know the realtors are in here once a month. The Rotary's in here. I want to know, are people coming here and going, I want to rent your building for a memorial service.
Yes.
I want to rent this building. We used to do a lot of cute scenarios here, and the reason is nobody else would rent them.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
No, we still get those as well.
Are we still getting those?
We don't have, the answer is yes. Without us running a manual report and trying to populate that might be tough. We can print something out. We can try. ActiveNet's going to be up fairly soon, March-ish?
In three weeks.
What?
ActiveNet, our new recreation management system. Yeah. So the team's been killing it on that. But, you know, overall, we're looking really good. We're 50%. When I look at gym revenue, we're 61%, which is great, and our busy season hasn't come. Same thing when you look at the pool rental. We're at 45%, tracking a little bit below, but again, our busy season's coming up, so I'm not too concerned on those. I am, however, concerned about sports-filled rentals. We're having to look through all of our MOUs because we're losing a lot of revenue. We're at 21%.
And we're looking at our community people, or people coming here going, I want to rent your hall for an event.
There's more individuals and families renting than there are groups like Rotary and others, by far. And so whether they're memorial services, weddings, quinceañeras, they're still here.
And you know, when they have them here before, they have to have security.
We do that.
Still do that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Anytime there's alcohol involved, we require.
And also, they would like take off of their, if it was weird.
Yeah.
So I just,
TMI. Yeah. All right.
Bringing me back.
Bring them back.
Anything else done? Okay. Moving on then to staff updates.
Staff updates!
The first item is the January check register.
Oh, whew. Glad you said that. Yes, January check register. Any questions?
No questions for me. Public questions. Okay. Second item, the 4600 other income report.
Yes, and so Laura wanted us to put that in. Did we get that in there?
Yes, it was.
There we go. This is just a required report, and she also had some questions, and so we put those comments in there. So copy your fee. We put a couple other notes in there, and you guys can see that on that sheet. I know there were some questions last time.
Why would these not fall into being coded somewhere else?
Because I think the majority of these are... Let's see. One had to do with a retiree that's passed, and we were being charged insurance, and so he just wanted to change it up, and you can see the notes there. We credit because of the retiree death, and so we want to make sure we capture it in the right location. And then Alan Gardner, monthly COBRA, dental fees, a lot of those, there's a fee for us, but we're reimbursed. He's written a check to us, and he's allowed to do that. We have to let him do that. That's what that is. So anytime there's a reimbursement like that between employees, we have to document it there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Comments from the public on the 4600. Okay. Annual comprehensive financial report.
There's nothing new on that one. We've had to put that on pause right now because we're full right now, but we're still working on that one.
All right. 2425 audit.
I will tell you, and I hope we can convince her to come to a board meeting soon. Laura is absolutely killing it. She is here late every day. It would not surprise me if she's over there right now She's been working directly with Kimiko, who our IBLE representative. I will tell you that that woman is absolutely amazing. She's got a list, and she's learning how to do it all. So she got a list of everything. They pulled everything. I think we're ahead on this audit. There are some things that we had to look at that none of us were here, and we just have to look at it and make some educated guesses, unfortunately, on them. But I think we're tracking right on. I think she said early. I don't think by this board meeting, but potentially by the next, we might even be done. So kudos to – I can't give Laura enough credit because I tell her all the time, stop working, because she's sending emails at 11 o'clock and I'm like, stop, go to bed. But she's the type that likes to get everything off of her desk. So she's – the audit's going great. She's killing it. There will likely be some findings because we've discovered some items and, yeah.
Okay, I'll take public comment on all the items at the end.
Ooh,
AQMD grant.
I am happy to announce that we have been recommended for the approval of our EV grant mm-hmm. here, EV charging grant here. We also were awarded or recommended to the Board of Supes for award for the electric vehicle fleet replacement. So that'll be for the CCNR officer and one of the pickup trucks. The only other thing we might do is reach back out to them and see if we can do-si-do one of the vehicles.
That was in last week's supervisor's meeting.
There you go. They already did that one. But yeah. The EV grant, I think we just got approval
last
Thursday. Yeah. So that one's late. So you'll see it on the agenda again. We did not score high enough on the web grant, so but that might be some that we get some funds down the road. What was it? Oh, we got the shuttle grant as well for Summer Spectacular, and that one we might see if there's any revenue left there with them. We might go back and see can we add a fourth shuttle, and I think that might help out with
so that. We didn't might score high enough on the classroom upgrades.
And we'll look at why. I don't know, because this focus was different this year. It might have been just because of that. But I will tell you that the staff at AQMD has been absolutely amazing. We actually felt like they were truly encouraging us, please put in for these grants. They helped us walk us through the whole thing, gave us extensions. Like they were really, really good. So please announce that we did get awarded those, and so it'll come back to the board for approval. So we'll be looking at the two vehicles. We started doing a little bit of an analysis, and I'm still working on it, of the solar. The solar is going to be a little bit of a challenge because I need a free baseline year with no solar. Unfortunately, that was right during COVID. So when I looked at that year, I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm like, well, yeah, but attendance is way down. I think there's like one or two people here in the office. That is it. So that's not a good year to use. So we're going to have to come up with something creative to get a baseline year, which means we might have to go back to like 2017-18. Probably 2018 might be the last year that we can use to get some true full data, and that's just to give us a baseline. Once we get the baseline, then I can see, okay, this is what solar's offsetting. I can tell you the analysis I've done so far is it's offsetting a significant amount of our usage, in fact, feeding back into the system during the sunny days. But it's also saying that, hey, when off-season, your bills are spiking. So, but we all get that. Just like home, exactly. But once I get that baseline year, I'll compare it to our first year of SOLA, full year of rolling 12 months, and I'll be able to give you a better idea of is it costing us more or not. The other thing that's interesting is we're noticing on our bills it mentions Pioneer Energy. Mm-hmm. And it was my understanding, you know, down at EDH, we opted out. We stayed with PG&E. My understanding was if you were solar, that was what they were recommending because you didn't garner as much saving as you thought you would with solar. It didn't make a lot of sense to move over to Pioneer, but it looks like we're still on Pioneer. So I'm looking into that. We need to opt out. Yeah. And I did at home, did the same thing. And I've got solar, but I do remember that even they said that in their meetings that if you have solar, this might not be the best option for you. So I just wonder if we're losing a little bit. I will tell you, PG&E's rates are 36 cents per kilowatt hour off peak and 37 cents per kilowatt hour on peak, so you're paying, you know, all that. But I will tell you the cost that we're being charged by Brighton has been 0.196 cents per kilowatt hour, so it's significantly less. I will tell you that the system here is massive. 196 kilowatts is a really, really big system. Your average home is probably 7 to 10 is a really big system for a home. 7 is probably about average, and this one's 196. 89, I believe, was 92 kilowatts. But so it's a big system over there, too, for what they get. Haven't got a chance to get to that analysis. As soon as I get some baseline data, I'll have more numbers for you. But I wanted to tell you all of that because what we're doing is we have two options. And so we might need to come back to the board to change. We said that, hey, we'd like to use them for free for 2 years, and then we want to charge. But my recommendation might be, no, let's charge from day one. Especially if we're over, let's charge from day one. We just need to find $5,000 and I think it's $5,800 in kind, roughly $6,000 in kind. We can figure that out and we can charge from day one. That's probably going to be where we want to pivot with y'all and bring that back. Waiting 2 years, I don't think that's in our best interest. I think we need to charge from day one. So there'll be two position chargers is what we're looking at, so a total of four. And so that could bring some revenue into the district.
Okay. And the last one, community survey.
Community survey, well, we have not done anything on that. Again, we are full. Okay. But yes, we haven't forgot it. We do want to do it, and we're full.
Okay. Questions, comments, thoughts? All right, public comment on A through F.
A through F.
Okay. Moving on to items for future committee meetings. Anything to add?
You answered my question.
You know, nothing really to add. I know, Katie, and we there's been a couple of these on here, and I know you've had a couple more. We're not ignoring you. It's just that we do put them all on the list, and it's just a matter of getting the time just to get to them. So I didn't want you to think we're ignoring you. The cash handling policy, we did do some significant work on that one, especially with us getting ready to kick off ActiveNet. That's going really, really good. The concession stand, check-in stand is now open. Sorry, Mark. So pickleballers are getting checked in over there now. Not all of them like it, but they are getting checked in.
And they're paying.
Yay. So that's a good thing. We're capturing that. And so that's going to be, obviously, we've got cash in two different locations now, so we need that cash handling policy to be expanded. So we did write a new one. If we're able to get it, are you okay with it going directly to the board, or do you want us to wait till next month to bring it here and then go to the full board?
I mean, the board meeting's next week. You aren't going to be able to have it by next week, are you?
It's just about done. We're doing final edits on it.
It's your meeting, so.
So, I guess the question is, what are we getting out of that? Is there any like financial benefit to the district that would make sense for us to bring it to the board sooner?
It's not necessarily a cash benefit. It's an auditing benefit. It's auditing benefit or compliance because you have cash in a different location. And we don't have a real process documented for that. And so that's all. We're just trying to capture these things. We've done a lot of work on it. Do I think another month's going to hurt? No, but it's still another month of exposure. And if we could bring it to there with y'all knowing that, hey, we've been working on this policy, that's why we thought to bring it directly to the board.
Kind of like to hear from the public on this one, if anybody has anything to say about it. Yes.
Brad McMullen, Kim Report. So there's two places with cash, the front desk and the candy place.
Yeah, and actually there'd be three. And the third would be when we do Summer Spectacular. We count as a third, but okay.
At either location, how are they tracking the cash? Because I think that's part of a till would change, checked in, balanced, somebody checks it after.
All part of the policy. Exactly. Okay. Yes, 100%. Right. That's exactly what you're saying is exactly what it is. Yes.
And and how much activity between now and the next board meeting or the following board meeting?
It's more of getting people used to the policy and using it than anything else. It is starting to pick up a little bit. I don't think you hurt anything by waiting and bringing it back. Just know that we're out of compliance.
Yeah. I vote go next week.
I think I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Chris Gibb? Okay. And if we have challenges, we'll pull it, but I think we're going to be able to bring it to there, or at least a draft to discuss. We'll bring it at least substantially then.
Okay. Item 9, items to take to the Board of Directors.
Yes. So what I have, and tell me if I'm wrong, the fire impact adjustment, and that will be the request to the county as well as the resolution. And I will check with Nikki. I believe we're going to have hearings on those as well. And that's for park and fire adjustments, both of those. The CIP or CRP now was simply a discussion. We didn't intend on bringing that forward unless you thought we needed to. That was just education for you all. Okay. Senior nutrition, we intended on bringing that to the full board as education on that. We weren't looking at that as an action item. It was more just to educate you. Our plan is to move forward with the county, sign the agreement, move forward. But we did want to, you know, provide the board the opportunity to give us comments as well as the community. So we'll bring that one as a discussion item. Okay. The policy 330.5, the in-kind policy, we will be bringing that. And then the mid-year budget review, we were going to bring that, but it will be a much more condensed version if you want it, or if you want a full version, we can do that too. So you just need to let us know what you want on that one.
Condensed.
I thought you might say that.
Were you
going to discuss
this last page?
We did.
We did.
We were laughing about why are we dealing with Alan's COBRA when because he should be dealing with it himself.
We're required to. And so he pays us, we pay, and he pays us. So it's 100% reimbursement. He writes us a check.
Oh, well, yeah. That must have changed. Yep. I never handled it that
way. We have to offer that, and then they just...
Well, I know you have to offer COBRA, but when someone retired from County Fire, they would, well... Maybe I'm wrong. I would have them pay for the whole year and then send it to Delta Dental. So, okay. All right. That's only for 18 months, correct?
I think so. I'll double check.
He's not getting any health benefits.
I will double check.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
That's it. Number 6.
Yep. So we got what we need to... Got what we need to go to the board.
Okay. I don't know if this really falls under this committee, but are you planning to have a discussion with the board on how we're handling candidate interviews for the director position next week?
Yes, we were going to do that. All of it has to be open session. So Nikki does have that all planned out and in the dates that she reserved with y'all. And so that was just going to be the front part of one of the open meetings. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So we won't get here and be surprised with what we're supposed to do?
No, you will not be surprised. Because we're going to get here and we're going to decide what we're going to do and then implement that. So no, it won't be a surprise to you.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
From the public? Okay, so then I will adjourn to closed session at, is that okay? 7:03.
All right, 7:03.